All right, welcome back, Truth Seekers, to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, an all-around nice guy. That's what I say. Sitting in for Mike Malloy, Mike and Kathy will be back next Monday for your listening pleasure. Until then, you have got me, broadcasting live from the left coast in beautiful downtown Burbank. Jason Leopold is going to be joining us here in studio momentarily, but I wanted to, Delbert has been hanging on for a while down there in Texas, and as if that's not, you know, bad enough, but so 877-520-1150, if you want to get in line. We're going to talk about all things Bush. We are going to party like it's 2005 and nobody's been thrown in jail. Because that's kind of what it is like still. Delbert in Shamrock, Texas. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Del.
Hi.
Hey. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to comment on the idea of lowering the tax rate.
Yeah.
So businesses have more money to invest.
Yeah.
The underlying premise there is entirely false.
Yeah.
If capital investment or current operating expenses are always paid out of pre-tax income, so the tax rate on that money is always zero, regardless of what the marginal tax rate is.
Well, and there's another problem with it, Delbert. The fact is that these tax cuts that they want to extend are the same tax cuts that have been in place for the last 10 years, and they didn't create any jobs then either. So, I mean, it's already proven to be a sham, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I would, you know, I could make that point very easily myself, but I didn't want to.
Where is Shamrock, Texas, Del?
About 15 miles inside the Oklahoma line on I-40.
All right. Well, you're in charge of, I guess that's West Texas, isn't it?
Well, I'm not in charge of hardly anything.
I was going to put you in charge of West Texas. Hey, Del, I appreciate your call. Thanks. And you make a very good point. And I just wish to hell that Barack Obama would hear it and learn how to negotiate. Thank you, brother. Have a good night.
Thank you.
All right. Okay, oh wait, where's my, everything's falling over, I'll find that later. All right, Jason Leopold is the deputy managing editor at truthout.org, and by way of disclosure, I write there from time to time. He is also the author of the LA Times bestseller, News Junkie, a memoir. I keep forgetting to bring my copy, Jason, so yeah. To have you sign it. Well, welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks, Brad. Good to be here.
How are you, brother?
Doing well.
All right.
Doing well. Keeping busy.
The L.A. Yeah, well, there's always, unfortunately, there's always something to keep us busy. One of the things I want to talk about with you, George W. Bush, like a nightmare, has come back into all of our lives. And I say there's a reason why he is even allowed to come back into our lives. But we'll talk about that in a minute.
Sure.
You explain this to me. 92 videotapes.
Right. The torture, the interrogation tapes.
Yes. 3 years they're looking at these things. They were destroyed
right.
on purpose. Nobody
there's,
is disputing
there's no
that,
question
right?
that. I mean, the... There is a dispute as to what the reasons were that they were destroyed. But, you know, just to put it in context,
yeah.
On November 2nd, 2005, the Washington Post published a front-page story for the first time revealing the black site prisons that the CIA operated around the world.
Right.
Or rather, in countries such as Thailand and Poland. 1 week after that story was published, these videotapes that were actually made in 2002
right.
Were destroyed. Okay, those videotapes were made in the black site prisons
right.
In Thailand. In fact, the two videos, there were 92, 12 of them showed that high-value detainees were, in fact, tortured, waterboarded, and other torture techniques that they were subjected to.
Now, how do we know that, given that they destroyed them?
Because what happened was is that the ACLU filed a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit. And basically their lawsuit was filed in 2004, September 2004, and they were looking for records, documents, any sort of material that dealt with the way the U.S. treated detainees in its custody.
Right.
And what happened was is that in 2007, December of 2007, the revelations came out by the New York Times that these videotapes were destroyed. The ACLU filed a contempt lawsuit against the CIA
right.
for not turning over documents in accordance with the these videotapes in accordance with their Freedom of Information Act lawsuit.
Right.
During that lawsuit, we were able to get what they call a Vaughn Index, which basically says what the, you know,
so
documents
the title
related
of each
to the videotapes.
Oh, right.
So we actually got to see more or less the email chains, what was going on back and forth with regard to the videotapes, who was instructed to destroy them. We didn't really get to see a reason. I mean, of course, their reasons were, well, the lawyer said, just like Bush says, the lawyer said we had the authority to do it. Jose Rodriguez, who was the head of the CIA's clandestine service, said that they wanted to protect their agents in case it ever came out, in case you could see them.
And was that the ostensible reason that they gave that we had to destroy these because if they were ever seen, then we would see the people doing these.
They felt that the CIA operatives would be
outed, if you will.
Right. But here's something that's
because we all know how much the Bush White House
right.
doesn't want to out CIA
yes.
agents.
Yes. Yeah. Right. They have a very great track yes. record in protecting yeah, right. CIA operatives there. But the you know what's important about to know about the tapes is that they were made between April 2002
right.
and November 2002. And the torture memo that John Yoo
right.
issued didn't come out until August 2002. So we actually don't really know what was on those videotapes
mm-hmm.
Prior to that August 2002 memo. And when the ACLU sued and the CIA responded and said, we have about several thousand pages of documents related to these videotapes, and they confirmed that 12 of them showed these two detainees being tortured. They said that we're only going to give you the documents related to the August 2002 on the interrogation tapes, what was going on, what we know about it at that time.
In
so
August
they wouldn't give anything before then, because what would that mm-hmm. do? That would obviously indicate that perhaps there was torture techniques that were being
done
administered to the detainees before they had the quote-unquote
legal authority
to do it.
Yeah.
So, you know, their whole story has unraveled. And these are tapes, by the way, that were withheld from various court cases, from various judges who demanded them,
right.
Withheld from the 9/11 Commission.
Right.
Okay. The idea that they were just, we need to purge them because we're worried, it was clearly a cover-up. I think that the only thing missing is the actual smoking gun, in a sense, saying that we need to destroy this because people are asking for it.
And again, this is like, it seems to me, you know, like the Scooter Libby case, where you have...
Right.
We are talking here about, and I'm speaking with Jason Leopold of truthout.org, we're talking about the destruction of these tapes, and if a crime was committed in the cover-up of another crime, we don't even get to talk about
right.
that other crime. And it was similar with the Scooter Libby case.
Right.
That was all about covering up for the
That's
crime
exactly
of
right.
outing
yes.
the... I mean, they have buried this thing so many levels deep...
Right.
Beneath the cover-up,
they have, and it's certainly the cover-up, which is a huge crime in and of itself, obstruction. But in addition to that, we're also talking about torture, which is not what's being as part of the investigation.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're not even getting to the point where we can investigate torture because we're talking about investigating the cover-up
I will add that John Durham, the special prosecutor from U.S. attorney from Connecticut, who was appointed special prosecutor by Michael Mukasey, former attorney general back in January 2008, to investigate this. Last year, Eric Holder expanded his mandate and said he could conduct what's known as a preliminary review of about less than a dozen torture cases to determine if CIA contractors, agents exceeded the legal memos when they were interrogating.
If they went further than what these legal memos, which are already phony.
Yeah, but it's only a preliminary review to determine if there's enough evidence to get to a full-scale criminal investigation.
This is absolutely mind-blowing. Yeah. We're speaking with Jason Leopold, and Jason, well, we've got to take a quick break here, but I want to come back and find out what John Durham did, tasked at looking at this thing, these tapes, for now two years?
It's January would be 3 years, so it's about nearly...
Right. What the hell he was doing for all of these years to now come out and say, oh... we're not going to press any charges.
Right.
Everything is fine here. We're speaking with Jason Leopold. I'm Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. We'll take your calls at 877-520-1150. A whole bunch more straight ahead. Welcome back to the show. Brad in for Malloy. Speaking with Jason Leopold, Deputy Managing Editor of Truth Out and, frankly, experts on all things Bush corrupt. How's that? Is that about right?
That's, I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Corruption.
All things Bush corrupt. You can give us a call if you have a question for Jason at 877-520-1150. We're talking about these torture tapes, 92 torture tapes, all destroyed. John Durham, the special prosecutor, is put in charge by the previous administration.
Right.
Go figure.
Right.
Does that have anything to do with it is that he, and just to let people know?
I don't think that anyone should read into that. I don't think anyone should read into the fact that, because Michael Mukasey tapped him, that therefore there was going to be a cover-up. And I know that there are some people out there that are looking... someone who I admire very much, Andrew Krieg, who is a writer, works at the Huffington Post, and he's looked at John Durham and said that he's got some issues regarding his past work. But the issue is that I think it was I think there's a number of different factors here. I think that one, there's certainly a possibility that it was politicized, and I think we should look at the fact that what he ultimately was able to do and not able to do. I don't think that there was ever going to be any sort of charges that were brought.
But wait a minute, Jason.
Yeah.
He's a special prosecutor.
Right.
He's assigned to look at this to determine if crimes occurred, and particularly in this case, the cover-up, the destruction of 92 videotapes to show evidence of torture.
Right. And so, he was only looking at the obstruction aspect of it, whether the Jose Rodriguez, the head of the CIA's clandestine service, obstructed justice, and other people as well,
in giving
when
the order
when they destroyed
to destroy
this.
The tape.
Right.
Okay.
So... he never actually, from what I understand from sources that I've spoken to, he never even interviewed Jose Rodriguez. It's my understanding that he wasn't subpoenaed either. And I spoke to some legal experts, and they felt that the reason was because Jose Rodriguez and his attorney said that if he was subpoenaed, he would basically assert his Fifth Amendment right against self-incrimination. So he could not... in a way, he had such a great out. He didn't have to. He could not force him to testify.
Well, all
if he
criminals
was...
have this, though.
Right.
So John Durham has been looking at this thing for 2 or 3 years. He comes
in.
Hang on, because I'm not trying to cast aspersions actually on him. I'm trying to figure this out. He's looking at this for 2 or 3 years, and the statute of limitations runs out when? Last Wednesday,
The statute of limitations, Brad.
Yeah.
Ran out on the day George Bush's book was published, okay? And the Justice Department made the announcement that there would be absolutely no charges. That's what they said. You know, they said that there's still some sort of open investigation.
Concerning these videotapes.
Excuse me, yes.
On the same day that the book comes out.
On the same day that George Bush's book comes out, in which George Bush is saying, yes.
It was
that,
a friendly, it was a nice, you know, torture, was a publishing gift.
The torture saves book. So, you know, I think that there certainly should be some criticisms toward Durham for running out the clock.
Well, what took so long?
But I have to say that I also think that this was done. This is where the politics come into play here. I think that his investigation was actually done months ago. And it's my belief, and I don't have any evidence to base this on, only on the, you know, historical nature of the way this Justice Department has worked, even with the Obama administration, is that they wouldn't make the announcement because it was an election coming
so
up.
They waited until after the election.
They waited until after the election and waited until the statute of limitations ran out. And they made the announcement because they were being pressured to make the announcement.
But what is the base? And I've actually got to get out in about 30 seconds here, and we're speaking with Jason Leopold. We're going to continue with him. But what was the basis for saying we are not going? There are no charges here. They say,
That's the problem. We don't know. We don't know. Their official line was, we don't have, John Durham has chosen not to pursue criminal charges. It's my understanding he just didn't have enough evidence to secure an indictment. Now, we don't have a report. The report that he has filed, presumably with DOJ, has not been made public, so it's difficult to know.
So all we know is he's not going to bring charges, so he says. We're speaking with Jason Leopold of truthout.org. 877-520-1150. We're going to get to your calls after this break and find out about these U.S. attorneys, Bush's U.S. attorneys, who are still in place. This is insane. Brad in for Malloy. Dahlia Lithwick wrote at Slate this week. She said, "We keep waiting breathlessly for someone, somewhere, to have a day of reckoning over the prisoners we tortured in the wake of 9/11, without recognizing that there is no bagman to be found and that, therefore, we are all the bagman." President Barack Obama decided long ago that he would, quote, turn the page on prisoner abuse and other illegality connected to the Bush administration's war on terror. What he didn't seem to understand, what he still seems not to appreciate, is that what was on that page would bleed through onto the next page and the page after that. There's no getting past torture. There is only getting comfortable with it. The U.S. flirtation with torture is not locked in the past or in the black sites or prisons at which it occurred. Now more than ever, it's feted on network television and held in reserve for the next president who persuades himself that it's not illegal after all. Dahlia Lithwick in Slate. Brad in for Mike Malloy, sitting in studio with Jason Leopold of truthout.org. You know, that's what it's all about, isn't it, Jason? It's not about revenge or anything else. It is about the fact that the bar is now so lowered for a future president.
Completely
non-existent.
It's a precedent that this president set, certainly. And, you know, I have to say that Dahlia's article in Slate should be read by everyone.
I agree.
Because it's incredibly powerful, so well written. And she's a fantastic reporter. You know, really, when you look at George Bush's book, mm-hmm. when you see the admissions that he has made, which, by the way, are not new. He made these same admissions 6 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
What it reminds me of is how little, actually, how the Democrats and this president have done nothing, absolutely nothing, to hold anyone accountable. In fact, what they have done is that they've thwarted every effort at accountability. Barack Obama has spoken on the campaign trail about Republicans who are obstructing his certain policies into place. He's actually obstructed investigations by Congress early on. John Conyers, Patrick Leahy, any sort of commission, Truth Commission, Blue Ribbon panel that they wanted to put together, he and Rahm Emanuel, his former chief of staff, have obstructed that. And when you look at this, when you look at the book and you see George Bush on television, what should be, people should remember is how this president just continuously, and the Democrats, because they should both be held to account, have just turned a blind eye to it.
They have, and in that, you know, it's not like this stuff is optional. If you read the UN Convention Against Torture, we have an obligation to investigate and to bring charges. Signed by Ronald Reagan, by the way, that lefty liberal.
Look, you know, Brad, this administration a couple of weeks ago. Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, they issued some news releases, held a news conference, announcing that they were going to implement sanctions against seven individuals, I believe it is, of Iran's Revolutionary Guard related to human rights abuses related to last year's disputed presidential election in the country. Some of the things that they outlined that these Revolutionary Guards did were exactly what the Bush administration did, which is indefinite detention, torture, murder.
Yeah.
That happened under that last administration's watch. The hypocrisy is truly stunning.
It is mind-blowing. And, you know, when I see these folks saying, well, waterboarding, it's not really torture. It's a tough call. We prosecuted people. We executed people for carrying out waterboarding in World War II.
You know, you mentioned Ronald Reagan. I had written a story earlier this year, or maybe it was last year, that under his Justice Department, prosecuted a Texas sheriff and his deputies for waterboarding prisoners.
Yeah.
They were sent to jail.
Yes, of course.
Ronald Reagan's Justice Department. You know, Obama has set a terrible precedent that will just be carried out by other administrations. And the fact is that Justice Department, Brad, is it's highly politicized. And there's not much. There may be some changes, certainly in the Civil Rights Division, but politics certainly have infected that agency.
And many of the same U.S. attorneys
are
appointed by Bush, the same corrupt ones, the same ones down there in Alabama, Laura Canary, you know, who did the job on Don Siegelman. She is still there, which, well, you'll have to explain it to me, but I do want to get in some calls here because Ron in Prescott, Arizona. Ron, I really appreciate you hanging on the line as long as you did. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Good evening, Brad and Jason. Do either of you gentlemen believe that the Bush crime family, along with other crime families in America, have been working for decades to weaken America economically for a purpose, mainly weaken America through unjust, insane wars like the Gulf Wars and Afghanistan? But the purpose for doing that, if you believe they are, my opinion is they're trying to force America into a world government and world economic system. Any comments?
Thanks, Ron. I appreciate that call. What do you think?
You know, I can't really speak authoritatively on that. It's a great question. I think that certainly if you just want to talk about the wars in general, Iraq war, the entire sort of remaking of the Middle East has been something that the key players who were behind that had had in their mind for a very long time. I mean, it goes all back to that whole neoconservative doctrine of hegemony that Noam Chomsky had had written about.
And I may be naive here, but I don't think these people are smart enough, are clever enough to put together this grand scheme for one world order. I think this is a base reality that, you know what, this is a way to make money. They can make money. They can make riches. Cheney and his buddies just made, while the economy all went in the tank for everybody else, the oil companies, they just made money. And, maybe I'm not seeing the big picture, but I just think these are a bunch of creeps who want to make money.
And they're doing very well.
Indeed they are. Let's go to Chuck in Washington State. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Chuck.
How's it going?
Yeah, it's going okay. What's up, Chuck?
All right. My question, I guess, is is it possible? I mean, it's not to be in the Bush administration. I don't imagine that he had a lot of Democrats in there. But, in investigating the torture and the rest of it.
Yeah.
And the documents, the document fraud, which I'm kind of wondering, could there have been Democrats involved in a bunch of them?
Which document fraud are you talking about?
Well, basically the destroying of the tapes.
Okay, right.
And I'm sure there was documents destroyed, too. Come on.
The documents destroyed to cover up the cover-up of destroying the tapes.
Right. Call me a conspiracy nut, but it's really hard to have any faith in any of the investigations, because they keep coming up with nothing.
I hear you, brother, and that's thanks for the call, Chuck. I hear you, and I think, I think that's what Dahlia is sort of talking about in her article,
right,
that this is something that we're going to have to live with, not just with the crimes, but when you look at this, when you see all of these guys, these bad guys, who not only got away with it, they're flaunting it. And that, people look at this justice system and they go, there is no justice system.
Look,
this is a fraud,
top to
bottom.
It is. And I can understand why they're saying that, because just a few months ago, if I'm not mistaken, earlier this year, Nora Danahy in the same state, Connecticut, appointed special prosecutor.
Yes.
By the previous administration to investigate the, U.S. attorney firings.
Correct.
Lying to Congress. She spent many years on it. Nothing. Okay.
Yeah.
The Office of Professional Responsibility at the Justice Department, charged with investigating John Yoo, Jay Bybee, and others, and their legal work behind these memos. 5 years. They actually did recommend that they committed professional misconduct and that they should be punished as a result. Overturned in a snap of a finger by David Margolis, a man who is basically charged with cleaning up the messes there. So there's been no accountability. There's absolutely
Scooter Libby.
No accountability.
Is the only guy who actually was found. I mean, since what? Jack Abramoff I can't believe. The guy from Ohio who went to jail working with Abramoff.
Yes.
Never mind. He wrote the Help America Vote Act. I mean, these were years ago.
There's no accountability, and that goes for for the financial meltdown and the people that were behind that as well. And I think this administration, has not changed from the last administration when it comes to holding people accountable. And I think that should really concern everyone who actually cares about accountability,
of course,
and justice, that politics are very much have infected the entire process.
877-520-1150. Speaking with Jason Leopold of truthout.org. Partying like it's 2000 through 2008. Back when, we actually thought there would be accountability for this stuff. Now, we get this statement yesterday coming in the wake of John Durham's decision that there will be no prosecution concerning the destruction of the torture tapes. We get this statement from John Conyers, who has spent the last 4 years, hang on, I can see the look on your face. John Conyers spent the last 4 years as the chair of the U.S. House Judiciary Committee. He comes out with a statement saying, it is absolutely vital that a thorough review of President Bush's now admitted ordering of waterboarding take place. A thorough review. We are a nation of laws, not men, and the domestic and international laws, including the Convention Against Torture and other cruel, inhuman, or degrading treatment or punishment governing the use of torture, are clear in their scope and application. There is no exception for the president or any other official, and no lawyer's opinion can provide immunity from these laws. I have also urged the department to reconsider the recent decision not to pursue justice against those responsible for destroying the videotaped evidence. Of course, if the statute of limitations is up,
right,
is there
exactly
anything that he could do? Involving waterboarding by the CIA, the Justice Department should do its duty here and uphold the law in both of these matters, and if not, Congress needs to act. If not, Congress needs to act.
John Conyers is notorious for just basically writing letters. That's about it.
Sharply, you know, worded
That's a great, you know, that we're a nation of laws, not men, I think is what,
yeah,
you read there. You know, where have you been, John Conyers? Where have you been for, you know, 2 years? You did try to put together some sort of blue ribbon commission.
Right.
But what happened? You know, where John Conyers is allowed to perform oversight investigations without having any interference by the White House.
Right.
He made a decision. And, you know, the fact that this press release comes out 2 days after, more or less, the news just shows how out of step he is. He's so far behind.
And he could have recommended, not just investigations, he could have recommended charges that such and such be brought up on charges. He could have hauled in Karl Rove's ass in handcuffs.
Right.
You know, and he's had 4 years to do it, and I'm delighted that he's calling for accountability.
That's all he's doing, that his high-minded statements, you know, are just really don't amount to much at the end of the day.
It's absolutely maddening, and I think that Americans find themselves with no place to turn.
No.
And a justice system that they think doesn't exist, and frankly, for good reason. And we could blame the Bush administration for 8 years. Now we got to start blaming the Obama administration,
right,
for these past,
well,
2 years.
Well, when more evidence continuously comes out showing, yep, this malfeasance and, yep, and these crimes, somebody has to be held responsible for not doing anything.
Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, speaking with Jason Leopold of truthout.org. We got just one more segment. I'm going to try to fly through your calls. When we return, Mike Malloy is back next week. Never fear, he'll be back on Monday, and then I'll be with you for a few days over Thanksgiving. You've been warned. Brad in from Malloy, stay with us.
Say it's only a paper moon, sailing over a cardboard sea. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Yes, it's only a canvas sky.
Yeah, when it comes to justice in this country, it really is a paper moon. My thanks tonight to the great engineer, Tony Sorrentino, here in L.A.'s K-Talk AM 1150. My producer and call screener and the chat room babeski, producer Desi Doyen. For manning that chat room at bradblog.com, where we will have tonight's broadcast up for the archival purposes. And, of course, my thanks to Mike and Kathy Malloy for allowing me to sit in. They will be back on Monday. All right, Jason Leopold, in our last few minutes here, question from the Bradblog chat room. Cody K. asks you, which countries would you say have more accountability, transparency, justice, and representation? Where is it better? Where would you go, Jason?
Well, the first three that come to mind right now.
Yeah.
UK. All there's right. An active investigations, multiple investigations going on there right now. Spain, which has been trying to do some investigations. And Italy, which has actually tried to hold the CIA folks accountable
hold
for some
our CIA, yeah, because those guys are signed,
yeah,
on.
I mean,
to
they're,
this convention.
They're actually, you know,
they it. Have to do it if we
right.
don't.
Right. So,
Bill of Rights man adds maybe Morocco, Germany, New Zealand. Yeah, pretty much any place but these United States right now. Let me see if I can get in some callers. And callers, I'm going to have to ask you. I'm sorry, I know you've been hanging on a long time, but I got to fly through because I'm running out of time. Warren, your point. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Hi, You know, the first time I listened to you, I was sleeping in the woods waiting for a court case. Just a little bit of trivia there, man.
I'm not sure I understand what that means, but okay.
Well, it was the first time I ever heard you sub for Malloy, and you do a good job of it.
Thank you, sir. All right. Your question.
Talking about the false paradigm between left and right, and I think it connects to some of the things your guest has been talking about, too. Sometimes I wonder if that paradigm isn't completely in this country at this point, with the political climate having shifted so much to the right, the center has shifted so much to the right, that I wonder if the whole paradigm isn't basically a fiction to begin with. And,
I think it is, Warren. I think it's all phony, and I do have to run. So I appreciate
That's
your call,
fine.
Though.
I know you've got a lot of callers.
Thank you, brother.
Thank
well,
you.
Up Bye. Against the clock here. You got a thought, or can I get a quick call? Because I only got a minute or so left here. All right. Let's get to Steve in Austin, Texas. Welcome to the Malloy Show. What's your question or comment very quickly, sir?
Oh, hi, Brad. Good to hear you on the show.
Thank you, sir.
Regarding the U.S. attorneys, you kind of read my mind. All of them, all the Republican, or excuse me, the Bush-appointed U.S. attorneys need to go. Don Siegelman needs to be in Alabama.
Yep.
Needs to be exonerated.
Yep.
And heads need to roll.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate it, and I agree, and I don't know why they weren't gone on January 20th, 2009.
Just not a priority for them right now. It's clearly not a priority.
What is a priority, Jace?
Well, it's hard to tell at this point, and I think that trying to figure out what to do for the next few years and how to do it is obviously the big priority.
Yep. All right. I don't think I can get to Cindy. Cindy in Claremont says Obama is out in 2012 if he extends the tax cuts. Did you hear that, Obama? Cindy says you're out. Neil in Santa Rosa, New Mexico, says they didn't investigate 9/11 either. Oh, boy. All right. Well, yeah. Jason, I really appreciate you coming in here tonight.
Thanks,
Brad. Sitting in with me, brother.
Great to sit next to you while you're doing a great job here. Thank you.
I really appreciate it. Keep up the fight. I know it's got to be dispiriting. It is for me. I'm sure it is for everybody out there in this country. But we will overcome. And I mean it. Good night, America. We'll see you back at bradblog.com. Keep it lit.